Book of Colossians, you're learning there. It's a real blessing, a joy, tremendous opportunity for my wife and I to be back here in Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, which we've been associated with, blessed by for many, many years. And one of my favorite scriptures, now I'm not going to quote it all, I'm just going to quote part of it which pertains to me. I once was young, but now I'm old. And that's the truth. And I've enjoyed my life, my wife and I. And you know, one of the great blessings of getting old, though, is we don't have any young'uns around the house. When I go, she goes. But when she goes, I don't go. She says, I'm going shopping. I says, good, see you later. But we thank you for the opportunity, the blessing, and what a wonderful, wonderful 2 days it has been. And we've got to say, if you're saved by the grace of God, that we have really enjoyed the conference and today with all the singing, rejoicing, worship, and the preaching of the Word of God. And you know, it's sad. Back when I was very young, I had to be very selective. You can just travel so much and leave your pastorate ministry. But back 25, 30, 40 years ago, I had to be selective because there were so many conferences, so many fellowship meetings, so many things going on that you just couldn't attend them all. But now you pray, Lord, give us more. And you gave us more this weekend. Thank God for you. As I stand in this pulpit, I'll ask you to pray. This is a very sad note. There's a church in West Virginia here this morning going to have their worship services. And for the first time in 55 years, they're without their pastor. Unless you knew the man I'm talking about, which Brother Tom does and others, you've missed a delightful experience. And right up until the end, his mind was sharp, focused, and a blessing. I called him Thursday to see how he was faring, and we were talking about the world events. And he laughed and he says, nothing to worry about, brother. He said, just keep in the faith. He said, China better be watching for the Euphrates River to dry up, and Russia better beware of an earthquake. Now you go home and read your Bible. If you don't know what I'm talking about, he was right. That was encouraging. Here in our text this morning, Colossians, we'll read this. And this is sort of not a correction, because there can be no correction to the truth, but an extension of what Brother Chris preached yesterday. And I want to touch on what he preached on assurance. And I agree with him. And sometimes our assurance grows thin. We can get to a place. One of my sons, my third son, been out of church for years. Can't get him to come to church. And Don was talking to him about his relationship with the Lord. And my son used to be very active in our ministry. He helped me in jail ministries. He helped me in visitation ministries. He helped me in church camp. And he said to Thelma, Mom, I'm not even sure I'm saved. You can go there. But this message today will help you stay where you are. A God-given assurance and understanding. Let's read the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 25 through 29 to begin a reading. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving together to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, look in Ephesians chapter 3. And let's read a couple of verses there. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Think about that coupled with the verses we read. And then he says this, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles, let's read this one, should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, which in other ages, in the past ages, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. And we're going to see the definition of this word mystery. This message is of immense magnitude to we who have been born again, children of God, baptized believers, and members of our particular churches. This message is from the Lord of glory. You know, one thing I think we fail to see the immense, I can't do it in one word, so I'll use several, that we're missing out on how magnificent it is, how overwhelming it is, but yet how humbling it is in our services this morning to sit down at the feet of Jesus and hear his words uttered to us. And the reason that I say that is it shows in our families and homes. You know what makes up this church, this body? It's made up of individuals. And those individuals make up families. And those families are made up by the Lord of glory. Cherish your family. And have this God-given assurance and understanding of which was preached on yesterday, and never let our minds waver. The magnitude of it. This message from the Lord of glory has its foundation in one word found that we've read, and that is the word mystery. Now, Thelma, one of my sons, they go to mystery theaters when they're traveling. You ever go to one of them? Those people drive me nuts. You're supposed to figure out the mystery. Don't you know that all those words uttered, all those past years, when they sat down and pondered upon it, and they were saying they believed in Christ, they believed in the future coming of Christ, they believed what the Word of God said, they believed what they were taught, but here's this mystery they could never know. That's hid in the Word of God. And so now, listen, aren't we blessed to have this mystery revealed to us? I looked this word up. I'm not very smart. I'm not very highly educated like your pastor. But this word mystery, it means this from Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words. You didn't know I had that, did you, Tom? You didn't know I could read that, but I can. And it helps me a lot. Amen. Vine's Word Dictionary of the New Testament informs us that It is being outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension. You know something? Don't you know the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. You know what makes men speak out against Christ? His salvation by grace through faith. As I preach this morning, there's men standing in the pulpit that preach a manufactured salvation, which does nothing, accomplishes nothing, and gets people nowhere. Yet they declare the fact that we believe that there is a Christ that shed his blood and placed it upon the mercy seat in heaven, that we can be saved, born again, regenerated, and go to heaven. Because what we're preaching is outside of the norm. So what they're saying is based upon ignorance. You know, I'm not going to get into that. I was going to give you the definition of the two words, ignorance and stupidity. Stupid gets in the pulpit and decries the Bible, its authenticity. You can be saved from ignorance, but not stupidity, I don't think. Knowledge is to know. And we need to know. Now, what we're talking about, Vine says, can be made known only by divine revelation. And is made known in a manner, listen, and at an appointed time by the Lord himself. And is to those who are illuminated by God the Spirit. In the ordinary sense, it implies this. Knowledge was held. Knowledge revealed. So what we once couldn't know now is made known unto us. Amen. In verse 26 and 27 of our text. Even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest or known in his saints, to whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Now, let's talk about this Christ in you. How is Christ in us? In Ephesians 1, it talks about being predestinated under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. That's a great blessing of salvation, not only that we were chosen, but that we've been placed in the family of God. In Romans 8, it talks about this. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, what was it that Brother Chris preached yesterday? You can get fearful. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there's many times in my life that I've doubted. There's many times when you, as a preacher especially, when you go through trials and tribulations and trials and tribulations and trials and tribulations, and then the blessing comes. But when you're in the lowest valley, in the valley of the shadow of death, when everything, the world and everything connected to it, seems to be going against you, you fear. I'll be honest with you. But we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Why? Because he sent forth his spirit in their hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So God lives in us. He lives with us, according to John the 14th chapter. and we're never forsaken. And I'm going to preach on something here in a minute about being positive. But what is the purpose? What is the significance of this mystery that's revealed, that when we're illuminated, when we're regenerated, and the Holy Spirit comes into our heart crying, Abba, Father, we repent by faith, look to Jesus, and we're saved, then we need to know some things. And that, to me, is what is filling. I'll tell you the truth. I can worship God sitting out on Bowling Lake, which a lot of you may not even know where Bowling Lake is. That's my favorite lake in West Virginia to fish and catch trout. I can worship God there. I've been told that hundreds and maybe 1,000 times. But you know what? When I go fishing, you know what I go for? I don't go to have a worship service down by the lake. I go to catch fish. I know what bait to use. I know how to use it. I know what kind of tackle to use, and I can catch trout. I'll guarantee you that. That's a lie. I've had people say, ladies, now this is yours. This first one was for the men, the second one was for you ladies. I could go down to Walmart and just walk around and just meditate, and boy, I just get so close to God. No, you're standing there turning over every cotton picking medium blouse on that whole stack, got 12 dozen, to see if there's a bargain on the last one. Then you throw it all aside and go on your way and go to another stack or something else and do the same thing. So it takes them 3 days after your shopping trip to clean you up behind you. I'm not being mean, ladies. I'm just using that for an illustration. I'm sure you don't. But see what I'm saying? To make known, verse 27, to whom God would make known. That's the purpose of revealing this mystery and encouraging our hearts in the salvation that we have, to make known. And in that making known, you know what it does? It matures those to whom it is made known, to whom we preach. You know, preaching is a wonderful thing. Preaching is a great thing. Thank God for your pastor as a preacher, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That word, perfect. Jesus is now gathering together all things in one, even in Him in Ephesians 1. And He's writing that to the church of Ephesus. And they were baptized into that church. And the purpose of this church, which is an offshoot of those early churches, is to present everyone perfect. You know what that means? That don't mean without sin. That means to become full grown, mature, complete. Colossians says, and we are complete in Him. And that completion comes with the maturing. There's a cute little boy back there. Last time I saw him, he was nursing the bottle. Now he's eating up everything on the table, isn't he? And you just wait. Mom and Dad, I've got some grandchildren. I got a grandson that's played football ever since he was in fifth grade. I'm not up here to promote his powers in football, but I'm saying where he exercises and plays football, he works out every day. He needs his own grocery store. He's a man now. Started out on the bottle. He didn't know what that bottle was for. But they fed him. And he grew. And they put him on meat. Now they're trying to take meat away from him. See what I'm saying? Is that hard to understand? Present faultless. Mature, complete. It's for our growth in grace and knowledge of this great subject. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, and he gave some apostles, which when the apostles died, that was in the apostolic age, and some prophets, and that word prophets means to tell forth, preach, and some evangelists, that word evangelist means church builders, and some pastors and teachers. What for? See, it's a full-time thing. Our vocation, Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. Our vocation, our daily work, is not the job that we have to support ourselves. That's understandable. But our daily vocation and life is entwined and wrapped together with the Lord Christ. Amen. And being taught. And he gave what the church needs for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now, I'm going to tell you this little story. This old preacher had been in his church for years and years and years. Well, he was doing the mowing the grass, keeping the building clean, keeping the plumbing up, keeping the electric working, keeping the light bulb changed, keeping the furnace working, and he's getting older and he can't do it no more. And he gets up on a Sunday morning and he says, look, you know that all the years that I've been here, I've had to do this. I've had to do this because I didn't have help. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask for three of you men to volunteer and stand up and say you'll take charge and do the work. By the way, three men stood up and raised their hand. And the old man collapsed in the pulpit. And they called 911. And the paramedics come and says he's dead. We'll have to call the coroner. The coroner come and examined the old man and said he's died from shock. Don't let your pastor die from shock. Help him. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look here. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, the world calls this brainwashing. But I call it good common sense. I used to run jobs for a building contractor. And I didn't say we're going to build the house. We're going to start Monday morning. And you know, we didn't go out there, and some says, I'm going to put on the roof. And some says, I'm going to put in the electrical work. And some said, I'm going to put in the plumbing. And I said, we're going to dig a ditch. And we're going to get that ditch dug, and we're going to pour concrete in that ditch for the footing, and then we're going to go back and start another job and let that concrete set. And then in 4 or 5 days, we'll come back and we'll lay the block, we'll put in the deck, and we'll put in the superstructure, we'll put on the roof, shingles and all that, then we'll put in windows and doors, then we'll do the plumbing. See what I'm saying? Pastor gets up and says, we're going to have revival. Let's pray. Well, you go ahead and pray. I'm going to go out and pass out some tracts. And there's no one passing out tracts. But when the pastor calls for prayer, that's united prayer. See what I'm saying? The unity of the faith. What is that faith? That's God's system of revealed truth. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So now, you think about that. And this brings us now to the central thought of our message. And it should be our soul's deep desire of every saint of God, and to read this scripture. Our intentions as pastors and teachers this morning, as your pastor and the other teachers taught the Word of God, is to make known, to make fully known to our hearts the two aspects of this amazing text. Our hearts need encouragement. Look in chapter 2. And this goes back to what was preached to us yesterday. Chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. What is it he's burdened about? That their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of a full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Full assurance of the faith, first of all. Keeping that assurance. To know. What is it that this perfection is? Full assurance. Full assurance of understanding. You know, I was talking to Brother Chris after the service was over. And he said, you know, one of the major problems in a lot of churches is ignorance. We hear, but we don't hear. We see, but we don't see. And I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I didn't even have a Bible in my house. And my pastor said, you need to read the Word of God every day. You know, I used to preach, and I'm not going to put down this church or any church. I used to preach. I didn't say a whole lot, but I would see people with tablets and cards and pencils and pens and that kind of thing. I remember a time. You know, John Lybrook, he's got a son. He'd come to me from time to time. I was their pastor. He'd say, Pastor, can I get up and pull the scripture tonight? I'd be on Sunday morning. So we did some extra things on Sunday night like that. And you know what I remember about Aaron? You know the last scripture that he quoted to us in Salem Missionary Baptist Church? He got up and he stood there like this and he started in 1 John, the first verse. Verse after verse after verse after verse. So he got to the end. See what I'm saying? That we may know. See, what we see in this is what I call a definite positive. You may never hear that term, but how can something be a definite positive? Well, I'll tell you, it was mentioned yesterday. You go read 1 John. It's got 5 chapters, right? You read 1 John, and it says we can know. 2 chapter says we can know, that we absolutely know. And in chapter 5 and verse 13, he said, these things have I written unto you that you may know. That's definite. That's positive. The strength of the body of Christ comes from being joined together and compacted As it says in Ephesians 4:16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 19 of this chapter. Secondly, that we might attain to the true riches of full assurance. You know, we've been made rich. You know that guy that makes those electric cars? The richest man in the world. Did you know he pales in comparison to you as a saint of God? And the riches of the glory of the grace of God that's manifested in you, that prepared you to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Amen. We have received full assurance of the gospel. Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church in verse 5, chapter 1, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. We receive assurance. Nobody didn't have to teach me that I was saved. But I thank God that Brother McManus, my first pastor, he kept that assurance alive. He kept giving me promise upon promise, and word upon word, and line upon line, and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You ever see a cow sitting out under, laying out under a shade tree, Johnny's could? You know the sad part of that cow's life, if it can't chew its cud. And some of you raise cattle, probably you know what I'm talking about. That cow can't chew if it don't eat. Because it goes down in that extra stomach it's got, and boy, this is gross, some of you kids are going to say. Then it goes out and lays down on the shade tree and belches that up and chews it up and then swallows it down its main stomach and enjoys it and grows. Otherwise, it's starving to death. If you don't eat, you'll starve to death. If you don't drink, you'll die of thirst. What is it my son said? I don't even know if I'm saved. Don't even know that. See, that's a compliment of that great assurance of the hope. What is that hope? Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we desire that every one of you, Hebrews says, show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope on the end. What is he saying? Hebrews chapter 11 talks about those old saints of whom we feed off of. I can't be Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm not striving to be them. I'm striving to be like Christ, which made them what they were, which makes us what we were. Every one of them had the testimony that they were encouraged in the Lord. Hebrews 10:22, I'm not close. Let us draw near. Would you like to draw near to God in your daily life as a saint? Well, you get up in the morning and turn your TV off. What was that young preacher used to call it? You might know. Television. You remember that word, Tom? Turn the TV off half hour, 45 minutes early. Turn the lights out. Go to bed. Sleep. Get up in the morning if you Turn it off 45 minutes earlier than you normally did. You don't read 45 minutes. Meditate and pray. That's drawing near to God. You want to draw near to God? You know what I do every Saturday evening? I take time to pray for our services, to pray for our pastor, for the preaching, for the teaching. Draw near to God in prayer. Draw near to God when Sunday school comes at 10 o'clock. Be here to be built up the most holy faith to know. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of the faith. You know what that's going to amount to? We pray for revival in America. This is revival. This is revival. When we can have that assurance, that close daily walk, and that full assurance, what should we get from this message? Full persuasion of heart. Be fully persuaded in mind. Make full proof of our ministry in the Lord, in His church. Make our testimony of Christ fully known to others, and speak boldly as God would have us to speak. Father, we thank You for the message this morning. Pray, Lord, it would touch some soul, some heart. Lord, let them see and understand and be fully assured that Christ is all in all and in all and through all and loves us all and will present us faultless before the presence of His glory one day with great joy. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God, for the message, for this church and its testimony of years and many bygone years of service. Bless the pastor, bless the people. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Griffin. Appreciate the Word of God. Let's all stand.